Chapter 21. We left the trail again, and for the second time in a day, I emerged from the Never Never into the alley behind the old meatpacking plant. We made two stops and then walked until we could flag down another cab. The cabbie didn't seem to be overly thrilled with Mouse, or the wheelchair, or how we filled up his car, but maybe he just didn't speak enough English to ably convey his enthusiasm. You never know. "These really aren't good for you," Molly said through a mouthful of donut as we unloaded the cab. "It's Morgan's fault. He started talking about donuts," I said. "And besides, you're eating them." "I have the metabolic rate of youth," Molly said, smiling sweetly. "You're the one who needs to start being health conscious, O venerable mentor. I'll be invincible for another year or two, at least." We wrestled Morgan into his chair, and I paid off the cabbie. We rolled Morgan over to the steps leading down to my apartment, and between the two of us, managed to turn his chair around and get him down the stairs and into the apartment without dropping him. After that, I grabbed Mouse's lead, and the two of us went up to get the mail from my mailbox, and then to amble around to the boarding house's small backyard and the patch of sandy earth set aside for Mouse's use. But instead of loitering around waiting for Mouse, I led him into the far corner of the backyard, which is a miniature jungle of old lilacs that hadn't been trimmed or pruned since Mr. Spunklecreef died. They were in bloom, and their scent filled the air. Bees buzzed busily about the bushy plants, and as I stepped closer to them, the corner of the building cut off the traffic sounds. It was the only place on the property's exterior that was not readily visible from most of the rest of the buildings on the street. I pressed past the outer branches of the lilacs and found a small and relatively open space in the middle. Then I waited. Within seconds, there was a buzzing sound, like the wings of a particularly large dragonfly, and then a tiny winged fairy darted through the lilacs to come to a halt in front of me. He was simply enormous for a pixie, one of the wee folk, and stood no less than a towering 12 inches high. He looked like an athletically built youth, dressed in an odd assortment of armor made from discarded objects and loose ends. He'd replaced his plastic bottle cap helmet with one made of most of the shell of a hollowed-out golf ball. It was too large for his head, but that didn't seem to concern him. His cuirass had first seen service as a bottle of Pepto-Bismol, and hanging at his hip was what looked like the blade to a jigsaw, with one end wrapped in string to serve as a grip. Wings, like those of a dragonfly, buzzed in a translucent cloud of motion at his back. The little fairy came to attention in midair, snapped off a crisp salute, and said,
"Mission accomplished, my lord of pizza."
"That fast?" I asked. It hadn't been 20 minutes since I'd first summoned him, after we'd gotten donuts and before we'd gotten into the cab. "Quick work, Toot Toot, even for you." The praise seemed to please the little guy immensely. He beamed and buzzed in a couple of quick circles.
"He's in the building across the street from this one, two buildings toward the lake."
I grunted, thinking. If I was remembering right, that was another boarding house converted into apartments like mine. The white one with green shutters?
"Yes, that's where the rapscallion has made his lair."
His hand flashed to his waist, and he drew his saw-toothed sword from its transparent plastic scabbard, scowling fiercely.
"Shall I slay him for you, my lord?"
I very carefully kept a smile off of my face. "I don't know if things have escalated to that level just yet," I said. "How do you know this guy's watching my apartment?"
Oh, don't tell me this one."
Toot jittered back and forth in place, bobbing in excitement.
"Because he has curtains on the windows so you can't see in. And then there's a big black plastic box with a really long nose poking through them and a glass eye on the end of the nose. And he looks at the back of it all the time, and when he sees someone going into your house, he pushes a button and the box beeps."
"Camera, huh?" I asked. "Yeah, that probably makes him our Snoop." I squinted up at the summer sunshine and adjusted the uncomfortably warm leather duster. I wasn't taking it off, though. There was too much hostility flying around for that. "How many of your kin are about, Toot?"
"Hundreds,"
Toot Toot declared, brandishing his sword.
"Thousands."
I arched an eyebrow. "You've been splitting the pizza 1,000 ways?"
"Well, Lord," he amended, "several dozen, at any rate."
The wee folk are a fractious, fickle bunch, but I've learned a couple of things about them that I'm not sure anyone else knows. First, that they're just about everywhere, and anywhere they aren't, they can usually get. They don't have much of an attention span, but for short, simple tasks, they are hell on wheels. Second, they have a lust for pizza that is without equal in this world. I've been bribing the wee folk with pizza on a regular basis for years, and in return, they've given me their, admittedly erratic, loyalty. They call me the Zaw Lord, and the little fair folk who take my pizza also serve in the Zaw Lord's guard, which means, mostly, that the wee folk hang around my house hoping for extra pizza and protecting it from wee threats. Toot Toot was their leader, and he and his folks had pulled off some very helpful tasks for me in the past. They had saved my life on more than one occasion. No one in the supernatural community ever expected everything of which they were capable. As a result, Toot and his kin are generally ignored. I tried to take that as a life lesson. Never underestimate the little people. This was a job that was right up Toot Toot's alley, almost literally. "Do you know which car is his?" I asked. Toot threw back his head, Yul Brynner style.
"Of course! The blue one with this on the hood!"
He threw his arms out and up at an angle and stood ramrod straight in a Y shape. "Blue Mercedes, huh?" I asked. "Okay, here's what I want you to do."